The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, pardon me, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Got through 1 hour.
Yeah. Only two more to go. Thanks for hanging out with us on a New Year's Eve morning.
Touch and go for me. Here, two and three. Happy New Year to you and yours. Seriously, Happy New Year. Be safe out there. For God's sake.
Yes, please.
Be safe.
I know the Ubers are ridiculous. Just pay it.
It's just one night of artificial enthusiasm. Be safe. Whether you're enjoying fireworks or a beverage or anything in between or both.
Where's Fezzik at today? Where are the best fireworks in town, Steve Fezzik?
You know, the roof.
I'm texting him that right now.
The roof of my building is a very popular spot to watch fireworks. So I have to hole myself up in my apartment before the stampede begins. That's my only goal today. We get tweets beating the book. Todd Wishnev standing by the way. Dan Groeschel. I went to DraftKings looking for the perfect storybook Super Bowl matchup, but didn't see a Steelers-Packers matchup anywhere listed. By the way, you think that's a storybook matchup? Really? Steelers-Packers? I noticed that about Bijan Robinson. Some books, we were talking about Offensive Player of the Year yesterday. By the way, Bijan down to 35-1 now at DraftKings.
Did MGM ever get him up?
Bet MGM don't even have him up.
Still?
Someone should let him check that. Hey, guys, you know about this guy, Bijan Robinson? You probably want to list him. GV, New Jersey, New York. I would pay actual money to watch Greg Peterson take part in a spa day.
Wait, I don't know why he thought that was so ridiculous. I don't mind the spa every now and then.
No, that's what I thought he said. You thought the same thing.
So too. I was surprised to hear the word like you were, but...
3JackH3131. Gil, I just tried dialing 1-800-K-Bidlin, and all I got was a recording asking if I had tried Upside to save money on my next tank of gas. Yeah, that'll happen. Merle Betts, Happy New Year's Eve. He says, yearly reminder and reaffirmation. 1, dogs can win outright. 2, fade the public, be contrarian. 3, bet size and consistency matters. Thank you for helping me to my best year beating the books. Merle Betts, to the extent that we had a hand in that, we've done our job. Happy New Year to you. This is from Scott Barbarak. My New Year's resolution is to drink less. In a correlated parlay, I will up my gummy consumption. Happy New Year, gents. I actually retired this year and have been spending way too much time listening to you. Can't help it. I love the show. Oh, thank you, Scott Barbarak. I know the combination of hip hop and Yiddish, none of which Kelly understands, is irresistible. I understand. PMA Bets. Got to shout out other goats. Talking about Adam Burke. I got to read there. Adam Burke and Greg Peterson. Happy New Year to all from PMA Bets. There you go. And Rob Graham, can you please tell Toddy thank you for all of his in-game picks? He says, I have always followed him on Twitter, but now I'm getting in games from the Discord. And then Spence, artificial enthusiasm was the name of my first high school band. That's why I refer to it as New Year's Eve. Well, Rob Graham, the previous one, well, Spence, I'm glad, great minds, first of all, on that. And Rob Graham, we'll thank him right now to his face. Wishnev Wednesday star Todd Wishnev joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from his spot there in Pittsburgh, PA. What's happening, Toddy? Good morning.
I can understand sarcasm, Will Hill. So you know what? Go back to Texas Roadhouse and order another bowl of rolls.
Actually, Todd, I have to back up Will on this. So Will, who earlier said on the show, for those who missed it, that Todd has trouble with sarcasm. I was actually the first one to identify in the group change. I was like, listen, here's the deal with Todd. Todd is a wildly smart human being in real life, but he is kind of text dumb.
It wasn't sarcasm anyways. I will agree with you. I have a tendency on text to be pedantic,
yes,
and that leads to more accuracy. Sorry for being accurate.
Why does that lead to more accuracy?
Will Hill,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Will Hill just makes up pure fabrications because he can't be creative enough to come up with something funny. Wow. So he just makes up fabrications. Now, I love the guy. Sure, 1 and 2 consistently is fantastic. I love the freaking guy. But don't just make up stuff about Stormy that I said Stormy can't come. Come on. Seriously, do better.
1 and 2.
We're all in on the joke, Todd. We're all in on the joke. All right.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you a question. The college basketball season that was soaring, is it still soaring? Has it leveled off? What's the story?
We hit a new high watermark last night with another delicious 11-5.
Whew.
Care to share how many units up you are? We can whisper that on air. You want to do it?
I'll just whisper it. Yeah. Nah, I don't even want to say it.
Okay.
Triple digits?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, triple we're well into that at this
he's,
point, right?
He's not even like close to like bottom.
Ooh, yeah. All right.
Okay. Let me just ask you a few questions about college basketball. I'm going to throw these at you. Can we throw up the odds to win it all, by the way? I'm curious, are there teams, do you bet futures? I know you're immersed in your in-game, but are you betting teams to win the title? Do you have any tickets? Because I know you usually do at this time of year.
Well, actually, I very rarely bet any futures. I did bet 22 or 25 to 1 the first year UConn won the title and 10 to 1 the next year. Typically, maybe I'll make one or two a year. This year, I played Michigan 10 to 1 and Iowa State 25 to 1 so far.
Say again, which two? Michigan?
I played Michigan, the University of Michigan.
Thank you, Todd.
I believe the song goes, Hail to the victors, I said, Gilly and Willie are bad at picking, and that's why I won the Megapod Championship, and the guest chair is ineligible.
It's the school in Ann Arbor.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying. Yeah. Couldn't figure out which one you were talking about. Michigan and Iowa State was the other one you said?
Yes, Michigan at 10 to 1. Michigan is just an absurd team this year. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen any of these games. The offense is just absolutely absurd. And by the way, keep an eye like on teams like Gonzaga. Gonzaga, I believe, is 11-3 team total over. You know, I don't play a lot of pregame college basketball. I do mostly in-game. But yesterday, I just had to play pregame over 94.5 on Gonzaga team total because they were playing San Diego. San Diego's a fast team. Now, granted, they're on the road, but it doesn't really matter. They just keep throwing it into EK and getting through. It's ridiculous. So I played the over. Of course, it came in pretty easily. But on some, I think they're now 11-3. Depending on what number you got, they might even be 12-2 on team total overs. But you have Michigan. I haven't even looked at their numbers, but they go over every single game, and I usually hit them on in game. But it's absurd, their offense, absurd.
Well, it's not usual that a game in, you know, the calendar year preceding March Madness, right? So the early part of the college basketball season sticks in your head. But that Michigan Gonzaga game, and in fact, the 3-game arc of Michigan here in that tournament in Vegas, like you cannot stop thinking about. I can't stop thinking about it. Like how unbelievable that performance was. And so, yes, they
well, especially because Gonzaga's beating the hell out of good teams.
Yes, that's why
Gonzaga, if you look at who they've played, you know, they load up their schedule with good teams early in the year because they're going to go play their tin cans for the rest of the year in the WCC. But the if you look at who Gonzaga has beaten the hell out of, you think to yourself, wow, Gonzaga is really good. I mean, they beat Oklahoma, they beat Creighton, they beat Arizona State, they beat Alabama, they did Kentucky, they beat UCLA, they beat Oregon, all top 100 KenPom teams, and then they play Michigan and lose by 40.
Let me ask you the reverse. Which of the teams that are at the top of the board, let's say top 20 teams to win it all, which do you look at and you go, okay, that's a fraudulent team?
Number 2 in the KenPom, Arizona.
Why?
Their coach is Tommy Lloyd. Move on. It's the crystal ball of college basketball.
It's that simple, huh? Tommy Lloyd. And who else besides Arizona?
You know, Purdue. I know people are going to say, oh, Purdue's good, but I just don't think there's enough there. There's just... You know, I know those guards are fantastic and everything, but I don't know about Purdue. Another team maybe in the top that I don't really like, BYU. I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think they're good enough.
Is that historical bias, or are you letting a historical bias creep into BYU or no?
Nah, not really. I think they're pretty darn good, but I just don't think they're good enough. And Louisville and Houston are not Louisville and Houston regular teams this year, and that's probably why you see them down at, you know, 12-13 so far.
I was going to ask you about Houston because that was Matt Cox from Three Man Weave. That was his team yesterday. He's like, I don't really see it with Houston this year.
Me too. I agree. I don't think this is the same caliber of Houston team. In the past, they used to just strangle you to death, and you could watch full swaths of games where no one can even get a basket. It's so ridiculous, the defense. But this year, it's not that level. I don't think. It's still good.
I will assume you will say Nebraska is not a true title contender. Is Vandy
I like Vandy as a sneaky. They're sneaky. Nobody knows about Vandy. At least, I mean, I don't think you hear a lot about Vandy. I think Vandy's pretty darn good.
Legit contender to win it all, or a contender
why not go far?
Okay. All right. Just curious. Before you go here, any in-game advice you'd like to dispense to the general public? Your last bit of in-game advice for 2025.
I mean, I talk about this on the Discord all the time. You know, if I give out a pick at, let's say, you know, you need 32 points in the last, 8 minutes of the first half, because there's a commercial at the 8 minute mark. And that's basically 4 points a minute. Well, it is 4 points a minute. 32 divided by eight is four. If you are getting, are you looking at the bet now at the 7 minute mark and you need 28 points more, regardless of what happened between the 8 minute and 7 minute mark, there might've been eight, you know, 2 3-pointers hit and the number is different, right? It might not be over 71.5. Now it's over 75.5, but the number that the books are dealing is still 28 more points for 7 minutes. Essentially, it's not exactly the same bet, but it's essentially the same bet, 4 points a minute either way. So, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't bet it, but they're very similar bets.
Okay. I got something for you to put in your pipe and smoke it. Guest chair is eligible. How about that? Happy New Year, Todd. Great seeing you, man.
I'm not even going to respond to that because I believe you're better than this. And I believe that you are disfiguring your amazing reputation with this kind of nonsense.
Disfiguring. That's all I'll say. Disfiguring it.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. Happy New Year. Wes Reynolds from Pasadena next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
As the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer. To claim your bonus, use promo code VSIN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSIN250. We get tweets beating the book. Scott Cupp answering the other gentleman earlier who was looking for a Pittsburgh Steelers Green Bay Packers matchup, 400-1, he says, is what he found. Thank you, Scott Cupp. Ryan Hyatt, no better way to close out the a numbers game year than with a little guest on guest violence between Todd and Will, as it should be. Thanks to Gil, Kelly, and the entire staff for creating compelling and original content. Can't wait to see what 2026 brings for all of you. Thanks for making our mornings fun. Thank you, Ryan, for being such a great dude.
Yeah, man.
All times. Shadow producer of Primetime Action.
Been hanging around listening for years, and we appreciate it.
We do. Schizo360, Happy New Year, fellas. The show has made me a better gambler, and I am extremely grateful for your insight and knowledge. Cheers to another year of a numbers game. May our losses be few and our wins be profitable. Thank you, Schizo. You too, man. The numbers guys. Art. He's defending his art stance, because I think that's right. At the very least, it's craft. The Megapod causes involuntary laughter from time to time. That's art. Tell Kelly you're a guard-dem artist.
Well, I'm not an artist then. I was just taking it. It was a very nice thing to say. That's what I was just surprised by.
You too, sir, are an artist.
Apparently not.
Colin Murphy, I could have sworn that Greg said he was having a spa day as well, so I had to go back and listen. He said he will, quote, probably have some type of spot, unquote. I think he meant on VSiN and or another podcast.
Oh!
I'm going to go with spa.
That makes more sense.
That's more fun. Happy New Year, fellas, he says. Happy New Year to you. And Money Gun Guz, who is vying for the Millions Championship. He says, is Todd doing all his live college hoops betting during commercials? No, he's not. He goes on to say, if he's doing it as the game is going on, I give him big props, as everyone who bets live is good 45 seconds to a minute behind from what they are watching. Feel better, Gil. Happy New Year. He is doing it not only while the game is going on, but while a myriad of games are going on. It's incredible what he does. And he just computes the possessions and all that in his head. And Ace Dick Cardano is Todd's number one fan since the action days. I hate to say it, but the guest chair featuring Kelly Billen is the people's champion from the 2025 Megapod. It is. Absolutely. The guest chair is the champion. Todd thinks he created the bylaws. He didn't. Guest chair wins. Otherwise, why do we have the guest chair?
Didn't you have 3 weeks straight where it was like perfect? Me, Rufus, and so whoever was before me.
Yeah.
Whoever was before me, wasn't Brent before me?
No, it was
me.
You, Rufus, and then Brent. Brent hit his first one. Absolutely. Wes Reynolds joins us now, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line, I believe, from Pasadena, California itself. He will correct me if I'm wrong, where he is there to attend, of course, the Rose Bowl tomorrow between his beloved Hoosiers and Alabama. Wes, good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
Good morning from overcast Southern California. The rain has not dropped yet, but it is going to tomorrow. So that makes Tony, unfortunately, liars that say it never rains in Southern California, right? Because it will tomorrow.
That Rafael Saadiq, what a liar.
I remember being at that parade one time when I was a kid living in L.A., and it was raining very hard that time, too.
Wes, I mean, how are you? First of all, I know generally speaking, just from our brief little text exchanges when Indiana would win their huge games this year, that you are over the moon. How are you feeling now headed into a national quarterfinal with your Hoosiers? Like, what world are we living in?
It's crazy.
When your Hoosiers are touchdown favorites over Alabama.
Yeah, feeling good about it, actually. You know, thought I would be a little bit nervous, but not nervous. For what little that's going to mean, we outnumber Alabama big time out here. There are Hoosier fans everywhere. And when you've been waiting since 1967 to go to the Rose Bowl, that's not a surprise that we have more Indiana fans out here. But just looking at the numbers, like when you really get into the matchup here, I think Alabama, because of the name, because they're Alabama, they're getting a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Now you're starting to see that go away, because the line has moved to 7, but I really believe, guys, if that was Ohio State on the one line with Indiana's profile from this season, Ohio State would be laying over double digits here. So Indiana still is like, can we really live in a world where Indiana's a touchdown favorite over Alabama? Well, yes, we can, because they should be a touchdown favorite over Alabama if you really look at the numbers and really look at how the season has played out.
Oh, no, I agree with you 100%. I've got an Indiana future at 10-1 to win it all, so I'm with you. I was just referring to it as if we went back and told ourselves, I don't know, 2 years ago that this was a thing, we'd probably, our heads might explode off of our bodies.
Absolutely not. Absolutely no way that we would perceive that this was going to happen. But Kurt Cignetti doesn't listen to very many people, which is a very good thing, because he believed it could happen.
Yeah. And I feel compelled to ask you this about the rain. Does the rain help or hurt either team, or wait for it, Wes, is it a wash?
Oh.
See what I did there?
You know, it might actually be a wash, Gil. I don't think it certainly doesn't help Alabama, because they really can't run the ball anyway. And they haven't been able to all season. I think they were like 118th in rushing offense or something like that. Just looking at the metrics here. And Indiana, pretty darn good against the run, by the way. Oregon couldn't run it on them. Penn State couldn't run it on them. Ohio State couldn't run it on them. Illinois couldn't run it on them. So what makes us think Alabama is going to? But Indiana, to be fair, against the better competition, you know, they've been around like right at 3 yards a carry against Oregon and Ohio State and Iowa, but those are three of the better rush defenses in the country. So I think Indiana can run the ball a little bit better if the weather gets nasty. So maybe a small lean to Indiana, but ultimately probably not going to play a lot of factor.
What's the team that scares you the most as an Indiana fan?
Probably Georgia. If we get to Miami and see them, I think they've been playing the best in terms of momentum. If momentum is a thing, and look, it might not be, considering the fact that these teams that are the top four seeds had a month off from the conference championship weekend. But Georgia really kind of started to figure it out, I think, up front on both sides of the ball, where they started to stop the run, and they looked like a little bit of the Georgia of old, of yesteryear, which would be about 2-3 years ago, where they're stopping the run and they're being physical up front and really dominating the game and dominating the possession like they did against Alabama in the SEC title game. They're the team that I think worries me a little bit.
Okay. Let's dial it back to today. Are you betting, so preceding the quarterfinals tonight, before the Miami-Ohio State game, are you betting any of the day bowl games today?
I do have a couple, and I got company being on the Iowa Hawkeyes, considering that's down to 3. I bet it at 6,
yeah,
and also at 5.5. But I just think, Gil, that Phil Parker, the defensive coordinator at Iowa, and Kirk Ferentz are chomping at the bit to get at Diego Pavia. With all the hype and, the Heisman campaign and, how exciting he is, Kirk Ferentz, they know how to ugly a game up in Iowa, and they are very experienced in this bowl game. I think they've been to this Tampa Bowl several times in Kirk Ferentz's career. So I think they're going to be ready to go. And you give me that good a defense and you're giving me points, I'm going to take Iowa. So I'm on the Hawkeyes, also on Michigan. And now that has crossed down under 7. I think Michigan's going to play hard here. I think they've had such a rough month, with the Sherrone Moore's dismissal, and now Kyle Whittingham's going to take over. I think they're kind of just like the blanket, and they're just going to play devil may care. And I think that that's going to work out in their favor. So I did bet Michigan. Also bet Duke on the money line over Arizona State. Duke won the ACC title game and didn't get in the playoff, which they shouldn't at 8-5. But maybe this is like, okay, we'll show you that we're a pretty good program here. So I think they're the more motivated bunch against an Arizona State team that's losing a lot in the portal here.
I am so with you on Iowa. I have nothing in the other two that you mentioned, but I am so with you on Iowa. Our buddy Dr. Bob on the Iowa side is, no, he's not on the side. It's not a best bet. Let me be clear. It's just a lean for him on Iowa, but I agree with you. I think that the muddying up from the Iowa defense against a guy that didn't really do himself any favors in terms of getting people to like him after the Heisman vote was announced in Diego Pavia. What about the other three quarters beyond Indiana now? Talking about Miami, Ohio State tonight, and then Oregon, Texas Tech, and Ole Miss, Georgia tomorrow.
Yeah, for tonight in the Cotton Bowl, I like the dog in the under here. I think Miami's defense can get pressure. They got 7 sacks against Marcel Reed and Texas A&M. And Ohio State, for the first time all season, chinks in the armor there up front, because Indiana got like almost a 50% pressure rate on them in the Big Ten title game. So they're going to have to block a lot better up front. I think there's a lot of points to give to the Hurricanes. And then with the Ole Miss and Georgia, I know it's kind of the public side, but I like Georgia here. I think maybe Ole Miss hangs in the first half, and then Georgia puts it away in the second half, kind of like they did in the regular season meeting where they dominated the fourth quarter. So the mean machine in the red and black to move on.
Oregon, Texas Tech staying away?
A little bit under here. 2 really good defenses. I think Oregon's going to play a lot better defense than you saw against James Madison. They let their foot off the gas, and I think Dan Lanning will have their attention. And we know Texas Tech's got the best defensive line in the country. So under 52 for me.
Wes, very pumped for you. Enjoy the magic carpet ride. Stay dry, man.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
Wes Reynolds, everybody. Indiana alum. In heaven right now.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, absolute heaven.
We didn't think it was going to last nearly this long. Come on.
It's been amazing. May it continue for those of us who have bets on him. Nick Whalen on week 18 of the NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circle Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidley, everybody.
Hey,
follow him on Twitter at Kelly by the Lawn. Shout out to Jay Sullivan. Jay Sullivan sent me, you know what he sent me in the mail?
What's that?
4 boxes of puffs of tissues with, is that what they're called? Puffs, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Vicks vapor rub in them? I don't know who, someone intercepted them.
Man,
my tissues.
We got to that advanced technology. We're putting Vicks straight into the tissue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if that feels unnecessary or it took way too long for us to get there.
Oh, it's been a while.
They've been around?
Yeah. Okay. I owe you 569 on Twitter. Art, can you have a segment with Kelly, a.k.a. Bob Ross? Have Kelly painting happy clouds, happy trees, and happy rivers while Stevie is sitting behind grilling him on blackjack. Like the old blackjack quiz. Word of the day on the show, pedantic. Happy New Year's to all of you. Yeah, Todd Wishnev broke out the pedantic earlier. Happy New Year to you as well. I owe you S69. Mile marker 420. Oh my gosh, I was scared it was a 1-900 Kelly number Kelly was giving out. I was too scared to call it. Yeah, we don't want to do that. Brian, B. Morianen. Happy New Year's to both of you and the team. Love listening in every day. Hoping you don't tick off management and get relegated to the Golden Gate book, sitting at different counters at the entry.
Did we do something?
Well, we were at the D for a year. And I think got,
did we do something to get relegated again?
I think we got penalized just for being us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Saw that tweet come down. I'm like, did we say something?
Stormy is reacting to the Todd Will Hill dispute. Todd seriously does not get it that we're all just messing with him. The RGB, Happy New Year's to Gilly and K. Michael Bidlin from the originator of Kelly's new moniker, the R. Gary Beard. Peace, love, and happy caches in the coming year. Hopefully we get ANG on location this year. Oh, we'd love to do that. Hells yeah.
Yeah, man.
Bert Wiedemeyer, Happy New Year's, gentlemen. I'm a big fan of 90s R&B like you, Gil, but Albert Hammond's rendition of It Never Rains in Southern California supersedes Tony's by a landslide. I think Wes could attest to this as well. Now, when you say supersedes, that's a little strange use of that word in that sentence. You mean that it came before? You think it's better? Tony.
How many people have covered that song? Feels like the most covered song ever.
Yeah. And Ed Zerolski, Happy New Year, Gil and Kelly. Hope your bets are good and bad beats few. Thanks for all that you both do. And tell the Husky Yinzer, the guest chair taking the title is like the bullpen picking up game 7 with 9 different pitchers. It's still a win in that.
That's right.
Still a win in that. Little Yinzer accent. Absolutely right. Nick Whalen joins us now from RotoWire, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Nick has been kind enough to join us every week here during the football season. Full NBA swing as well. Happy New Year, Nick. Man, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. Doing great. Good to be back here, as always. Good to see Kelly back on the show, and looking forward to digging in on a trepidatious Week 18.
Wow.
Trepidatious.
Had to one-up with the words. Wow. Yep.
Is that even a word? Trepidatious. Wow. Nick, what are you doing? You have a little girl. Do you do anything special for New Year's Eve, or is it like any other night?
No, it's I feel like I'm kind of past that. You know, 2-3 years ago, we were still, you know, scheming with the guys, like, where are we going? You know, how late are we staying out? Are we going to a bar downtown? And, you know, look, I'm among the last of my friends to have a kid. So, yeah, everybody's kind of moved into like a retirement phase for New Year's. So not a whole lot on the docket for me. You know, going to be watching the college football playoff game tonight. We got an NBA slate to keep track of. So nothing major. I wish I had like a really cool plan to relay to you guys, but I will be hanging out with my 7-week-old daughter.
There you go. As you should. Let's talk some NFL. I'm just curious.
We all got sports and shows going on and everything. You know what the thing is with people, man, that go out tonight? They somehow all have, they all have like 3 weeks off in a row around this time of year. It's amazing. Right. Nobody works anymore. It's incredible.
Who's got time off?
I don't know. Young people I run into all these days are like on vacation for like 3+ weeks at a time.
Bro, I told you. I worked. Oh, look, I say this out loud. I worked a whole lifetime, right? A whole lifetime, decades, to get like a good amount of vacation time. Then as soon as I do, DraftKings is like, everybody can have vacation. I'm like, what? How this happened? Anyway,
but it's cool. Gil's moved on.
That's right. I moved on. Doesn't bother me at all. Wait, I was going to say, let's start with Week 18, but let's actually start with the NBA because we have games today. What did you land on in the NBA?
Yeah, I got a few things I'll run through here, guys. You know, this is probably, you know, counts as a sucker play, but you have to look at Toronto -6.5 going up against Denver tonight. No Jokic, obviously, in addition to Aaron Gordon, Christian Brown, and Cam Johnson. So that's 4 starters now out for the Denver Nuggets. I think you got to look at the under 228.5 as well. Toronto, a slower paced team, one of the better defensive teams in the NBA over these last couple of weeks. Again, just too much attrition, I think, here for the Denver Nuggets. And losing Jokic specifically, like a guy who almost never misses time, you know, like barely ever misses consecutive games specifically. You know, this is the first game he's missed this season. You know, it's a really tough adjustment when you don't really have a sample of what this team looks like without him playing 30 to 35 minutes every single night. It's also the third game in a 6-game road trip for the Denver Nuggets, like a really bad spot to lose Nikola Jokic. So I think you got to look at Toronto tonight. A couple props that I have loaded up, guys. Derek Queen of the New Orleans Pelicans, over 21.5 points plus rebounds going up against Chicago. Bulls are just a team that I love targeting in the prop market. They're top 5 in the NBA in both points and rebounds, as well as assists, by the way, if you want to tack that on, allowed to the center position specifically. You do worry a little bit about the workload for Derek Queen. You know, they'll play him 34 minutes one night and then 23 the next. Like, they haven't quite figured that out. But when he's on the court, you know, per minute, the numbers have been pretty ridiculous. In Orlando, Indiana, the game that everybody will be watching tonight, Anthony Black, over 4.5 rebounds. Indiana, among the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. Part of the reason is they miss a ton of shots. There are a ton of available rebounds in Pacers games. Still no Franz Wagner, of course, for Orlando. And we have both Desmond Bane and Jalen Suggs questionable on the injury report. So I think if at least one of those guys is out, that opens up even more opportunity for Anthony Black, who's averaging almost 35 minutes per game over the last 10. And then taking a shot, guys, on Brandon Miller, over 2.5 threes going up against the Warriors tonight. Warriors have been a pretty solid three-point defense. They allow a decent number of attempts. You know, opponents are shooting like 33% from three against the Warriors. I think that's a little bit fluky. Those are, you know, it's one of those stats that tends to fluctuate throughout the season. But we did get word that Miles Bridges will not be out there tonight for the Hornets. So a little bit more opportunity, perhaps, for Brandon Miller.
There you go. That's a thorough NBA and not, set of games.
Not right tonight, there. Right, Nick? This tips off in like an hour and a half, I believe. We have early morning NBA
That's
today.
That's right.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we got games. We got games at noon. We got games mid-afternoon. NBA taking advantage, as they do.
Full day NBA today. Okay, let me segue to the week 18 of the National Football League. You said you were trepidatious. Let's see if we can get over your trepidation a little bit here. What sticks out to you? I know you don't, in terms of a lean, let's call it, what are you looking at?
Yeah, a couple spots here, you know, and the trepidatiousness, if that's a word, trepidation, you know, just comes from the unknowns with the rest. And, you know, we have rumors that teams are going to rest players. You know, Dallas is maybe the poster child for that right now, where it's like, yeah, Dak will be out there, but is he going to finish the game? Who knows? Anyway, I'm looking at, you know, Chargers, Broncos. We know the Chargers are basically throwing this game. I think you have to look at the under 37.5. You know, Broncos have been a tough team to trust in terms of laying a big number. So I am staying away from that. But I think this is just a get in, take care of business, get out spot, get the one seed for the Broncos. You know, Chargers have not been an explosive offense necessarily, even with Justin Herbert out there. I wouldn't expect anything better with Trey Lance. So looking at the under there, and interesting, by the way, that the Chargers are clearly, blatantly, in my opinion, trying to tank their way out of playing the Jaguars in the wild card round, which is, you know, a sentence I never thought I would say. I'm also looking at the under in Packers Vikings, guys, and this is a very low number, 36.5, but 6 of the last 7 Vikings games have already gone under this number. And, you know, now you're getting Max Brosmer conceivably going up against, I think it'll be Clayton Tune for the Green Bay Packers, who came into a competitive spot last week, immediately threw an interception that basically sealed the Packers' fate. You know, Green Bay, they've already lost 3 in a row. The vibes are terrible right now. I think they're choosing, you know, rest over trying to, you know, win back some internal respect. You know, they did this last year against the Chicago Bears, where they went into week 18 and were like, well, should we not play Jordan Love? They played him for part of the game. They ended up losing, and it ended up, you know, I think giving them even worse vibes heading into the playoffs. I mean, this is one of the most banged up teams in the NFL. So I don't see the Packers doing really anything offensively against that Vikings defense. And again, Brosmer versus Tune, I think that has to be an under spot. One other play for me, guys, in Seattle, San Francisco. I'm looking at the Seattle team total over 25.5. And, you know, what worries me is Seattle continues to get off to these slow starts every single week, but you just have to fade the Niners defense right now. I could not believe how bad it looked against Chicago. And this has been a multi-week problem. Like, I didn't think it played well in the Tennessee game even a couple of weeks ago. So I think we have real issues offensively, defensively for San Francisco. And I think Seattle, even with all these slow starts, you know, they do tend to turn it on in the second half. They usually get a big defensive play that flips the game. So I think San Francisco will be able to score on Seattle. We certainly saw that with the Rams last week. But the over 25.5 on that Seattle team total is where I'm looking there.
You know, I laughed earlier when you said, you know, the Chargers clearly, because Nick is a Jaguars fan. He's like, the Chargers clearly trying to avoid the Jaguars in the wild card round. I do wonder, right? I wonder if there is an internal assessment, and we'll never know. But I wonder if there's an internal assessment where the Chargers or teams like them are sort of like, yeah, going to New England might not be the worst thing in the world.
It's crazy,
as a 7,
right?
Right? I mean, that could be a thing. Nick, happy new year. Congratulations again on being a new father, and may it be a prosperous 2026 for you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Same to you guys. Thank you.
Waylon, by the way, on Twitter, substitute the number 1 for the letter L. That's where you can find Nick.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out Sharp Plays, sharpplays.com, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. I mean directly, like no middleman, just directly.
That's right.
Scan the QR code for more at sharpplays.com. We get to eight, Speeding the Book. Happy New Year, by the way, everybody, once again. May you have a pleasant and safe New Year's Eve, and you can all watch football all day long and then wake up and do the same thing tomorrow. Can't wait. What a great 24 to 48 hours this is. Clarification from Brian Morian and Kelly. He says we're getting relegated. He says it's more Fezzik and Felica's F-bomb.
Oh, yeah, that's
F-bombs
true.
On Fridays. Yep, yeah. Don't forget Dr. Bob and Todd. All these guys are potty mouths. Limited everywhere. They could give you a folding table and send you to the horseshoe book. The D-Bar is a luxury resort compared to that. Happy New Year's to you both. Let's rock 2026. Tennis, anyone? Limited everywhere. Music to my ears. Let's go tennis.
I think I have some tennis season props for you on Friday, tomorrow or Friday.
Let's do it. DP, Happy New Year. Wishing you and all your crew a happy and healthy New Year from Vegas, DP. By the way, speaking of our crew, can we wish them a Happy New Year? I was going to wait to the end of the show. But Larry Mayer, who Kelly has never given the Employee of the Week award to, which is one of the big snubs, one of the biggest ongoing snubs here in the show.
I gave him Crew Member of the Month last week.
He wants the weekly. That's more of a lifetime achievement. He wants the weekly. Darnell Glenn, who gets the weekly seemingly every weekly in a very rigged award show that Kelly is just authoritarian dictatorship over.
Darnell back there eating pork rinds at 4 o'clock this morning.
Larry Mayer, Darnell Glenn, Deep Thoughts with Chris Foster, who we hope to get on air here. Let's do a little old man, young man, me and Chris arguing about things like boxing.
I heard it got heated on Friday between you two.
Oh, Chris can have all the opinions he wants. He has to let the other person talk at some point.
Ooh.
That's the issue with Chris. These young whippersnappers, they need to...
And you two only talked boxing?
Yeah, we only talked boxing.
Like, I know there's another popular sports radio topic you two are completely on other sides of.
What is that?
Michael Jordan versus LeBron James.
Oh, God. He's one of those?
Yeah, he's a LeBron truther.
Oh, God. All right, well, Chris Foster, we thank him. We love Chris, despite his opinions. We love Chris. Rob Moreno, Roberto Moreno, which, by the way, translates in English to Bobby Brown. I don't know if you guys know that. Rob Moreno.
Rob also, I think, a little sick, a little under the weather. Feel better, Rob.
Roberto Moreno. Who else am I forgetting? Isaiah's here sometimes.
Just had Miles Gwynn walk in.
And obviously, management by the way, Wyatt Tomchek and Danny Higgins, they should go without saying.
Yes.
But, I mean, sure. Their appearances on the show should let you know that they're front and center. Show doesn't happen without Danny. Danny! Podcast doesn't happen without Wyatt. So thank you to all those guys and gals. Michelle's here sometimes too, just for moral support. Mark Bono, thank you both for your incredible show. I was jumping for joy when you went from 2 to 3 hours. I listen every day of the week, and it's just awesome. Happy New Year, and hope you feel better soon, Gil. Cheers from Philly, Mark B. Thank you, Mark B.
Thanks, Mark.
Hope I'm pronouncing your last name right, Bono or Bono. Christian Marge, Happy New Year, gentlemen. Thanks for all you guys do daily to inform and entertain us. Flying in from Charlotte for Super Bowl weekend. Hope to be able to say hi. Thanks, boys. Yeah, come by. Say hello. And 3Jack says, Happy New Year, Gil and Kelly, with the show branching off into art and wine discussions this week. And now Kelly yelling about them young kids on New Year's Eve. I feel kind of old. Can we get Stormy on more in the new year? We'd love to have Stormy on more in the new year. She has to, she's got stuff to do, though. So we don't want to bother her or anything.
I hope everybody who can has a great time tonight.
Yeah.
Unlike Gil, I think you party for whatever reason you can come up with.
That's right.
Party away.
What did I say? I said the opposite?
Yeah, you're talking about the fabricated holidays. I get the point. Oh. I get the point.
Artificial enthusiasm. Yeah. Yeah, bothers me a little bit.
I get it.
Yeah.
Also, I brought this up earlier. I checked in with our dear friend, Steve Fezzik. This is the most shocking text I've received in months. I just asked him. Where's best fireworks in town tonight? Need the official Fezzik call for the show. I do not know.
That's impossible.
What has Steve Fezzik ever uttered those words?
That's impossible.
He does not know. He doesn't have an opinion. Come down to Circa.
I didn't ask him specifically about his New Year's resolution, but he did concede a few days ago like a week ago. He's like, maybe I'm too dogmatic on some of my math. I'm like, you think? Do you think? So Kelly was a little upset earlier that he wasn't considered part of the artistry here. So we've decided to devote the rest of this segment to Kelly Bidlin's Will These Players Be Traded Before the NBA Trade Deadline segment.
So obsessed with this.
All right.
I got some plays for today, too. But yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right. No, so this is
up at Kalshi. I had to bring it up.
Let's go, Kalshi. You keep putting up these markets. I love it. Jonathan Kuminga. Will these players be traded before the NBA trade deadline? Jonathan Kuminga of the 4-time champion Dubs. He wasn't really a part of the 4, if you know what I mean. He was part of the last one, though, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's -489. Yes.
Yeah.
At Kalshi. By the way, thanks for doing the sports betting odds so people can relate.
You know what's fun? I switched that on my phone too. Like that's just an option.
Yeah.
So like my phone, it's just the sports betting odds on
it. I like doing percentages on Kalshi, but I get you. Trae Young. No longer considered the best player on the Atlanta Hawks, I guess we could say. -317 to be moved. Yes. +108. No.
Oh, okay, so real quick.
Yeah.
You want to go through the list or should I just go one by one?
Let's go one by one.
Because I don't have Kuminga. Deep thoughts on any of these. One of them.
I have a deep thought on Kuminga.
Kuminga, what? I think, is God. I think this has been telegraphed for a long time.
For years yes. now. Why does Steve Kerr not like this kid?
I don't know. It's really weird. It's really weird. And, like, this is to the point, Gil, where like every year NBA trades get tougher and tougher to execute based on rules that are put in place for contracts and everything. So I'm going to say that because I think it applies to a couple other scenarios here. But Kuminga, it felt like he's been out the door for a year and a half, 2 years now. And every report is they are actively looking at shopping him right now and looking to move him. So -489 might be the yes price, but it should be way shorter than that.
Wait, before you move on to someone else, though, is that just Kerr and the Warriors brass have just decided he doesn't play our way?
I don't fully know, Gil. I've never fully understood it either. Yeah. I mean, there is something there personally with Kerr. I mean, he's talked about it. I think they're the bigger picture though here is that that next step plan that the Warriors thought they had in place of, okay, when Steph and Draymond are gone, who's replacing them? And Kuminga is part of that process. I think they've realized that plan is not going to really work out. They need to start rethinking what that plan is.
The Wiseman Kuminga movie.
Yes. Wiseman. Yes. Great call.
Remember all that? Yeah.
Okay. Trae Young next up, right? Now this is part of what you get when you talk about a Kalshi, right? These are the correct odds. Yes. If you're looking at home, -317 on the yes. Uh-huh. And that no price is only +108. Reports really heated up here the past couple of days of Trae Young being on the move, possibly to Dallas, possibly to Sacramento, possibly to Milwaukee. This is one, Zach Cohen and I haven't had a chance to fully talk about it yet, but we've texted about it a bunch. I think he feels the same that I do. It's easy to say in the regular season aggregate that this team is better without Trae Young. When you get to the playoffs and you need someone to hit a shot, you like to have a Trae Young around, and he's still one of the best creators in the game. I think if you can find a no price that balloons a little bit, I might be in on that.
Which is the other name here? Is Clay coming back home? Is that going to happen?
I don't know. No. I think that's one that if Dallas, this is the problem with a couple of these on here. If Dallas could move him for the right price, they would. I don't think they're going to get the return though that they ended up investing in.
And what's the deal with Anthony Davis?
Anthony Davis is the big one, and this is the one that's heated up. Atlanta has been in the mix here the past couple of days with reports. These ones, both with Trae Young and him, though, massive contracts that you have to move that are just tougher and tougher to figure out how to do that these days. We do have next team odds up for AD as well. So he's +112 right now on the yes price to stay with Dallas. +170 to go directly to the Hawks. So if you wanted to specifically narrow it down to Atlanta, you could play this instead of the yes price on him to be traded. Warriors also there +566. I just don't know with him. Am I crazy at this point? Like, are you really running out to like AD? Let's get him in. He is definitely the next step to a championship.
Well,
I think he's a great player, but
if you're the Warriors, you're probably thinking that way. You're probably thinking, well, we don't have much time left.
Might be right.
You know?
And if you're Dallas, maybe a Kuminga and some young pieces would be something you'd be looking for in return.
And back to that other screen for a second. So, and Giannis is still a big favorite, over a $2 favorite to not go anywhere.
Yeah. And I think that one's the most perfect example of what I'm talking about. You having to match money and then, first of all, Giannis has to want to go there, right? And he's basically only admitted that New York and Miami are the only two places he even cares about going. You have to be able to match the money, but coming back to Milwaukee, which is going to be very tough to do, along with personnel that Milwaukee's going to be happy with. I think this most likely does happen, but it happens in the offseason, not during the season with Giannis. But I don't know, man. You know how much I love Giannis. At a certain point, you got to stop being so nice, and you got to say, trade me. Like, he's trying to play the whole game of get moved, but have nobody hate him. Like, guess what? Someone's going to hate you at the end of the day. It always happens.
How much do we love that we can bet these on prediction markets?
Oh, it's great. It's great.
It's fantastic.
And by the way, if you're like, Chris Paul, didn't he get, like, released by the Clippers? I had to double check on that, too. No, he just got sent home. He's technically still on the team. Very awkward situation. Like, I don't really know if anybody's running a trade for him.
Warren Sharp, Week 18 thoughts in the NFL next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.